Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show. It's all about the issues of aging. Who's going to take care of me when I get older? How am I going to take care of mom? How are we going to pay for all of this? Are they going to take my house away? If I go into a nursing home, do I have to lose everything? Is there a 5-year look back? Is there a 27-year look back? Are they going to come after my kids? Are they going to not let me in? Am I going to be forced out onto the street? All the issues of aging are what we talk about here. And as they really exist, not as somebody pretends they exist. There's people out there selling Medi-Cal trust. There's no such thing as a Medi-Cal trust. There's no such thing as a 5-year look back right now. There's no such thing as having to spend down. There's no such thing as I'm just going to die at home and I'm not going to let myself ever need care. This is a show that tries to bring some sanity and some truth to the issues of aging. There are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people for lots and lots and lots of reasons who have a vested interest in making sure you're kept stupid, you're kept ignorant, you're not told the truth, you're misled, there's a whole bunch of them. So I'm glad to have you here, and we're going to try to bring some light on a very difficult subject. Good morning, my name is Bob Scrivano, your host here on iHeartMedia and its attendant stations for 19 years. I'm glad to have you here. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad they let me be here. I wish I could be with you more often, but it's just not always possible. But I'm glad to be here. Number to reach me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. And you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for my upcoming workshops. You can sign up for an appointment. You can get information. You can watch videos. You can listen to archived radio shows and podcasts, and you can actually get the help you need. I'm somewhat hesitant this morning, folks, because I'm sitting on top of three things, and they're all very upsetting things. And I'll try to explain as we go on, but I don't even know where to start. A couple things. Remember, I'm not an attorney, I don't practice law, I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, not me. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, financial, or tax advice. I have a California insurance license, legal document, assistant license, and I can't snake a drain. Well, I probably can, but I'm not going to. I have to say all that stuff because there is a very large group of people out there who want to shut down my voice and other voices like mine, who are trying to let you know how this really works, who want you to believe that there's nothing you can do. I can tell you right now that I can make sure you never lose your house, you always get Medi-Cal, that your family will be able to protect what it owns, that you will be able to pass on to your children that you wanted to pass on to them with no fear of estate recovery, no fear of loss, no fear of spending down, no fear of doing any of that stuff. And because there's an entire industry and there's nonprofits that make millions every year off of misinformation, there's an entire industry out there that wants to shut down what I do and what other people like me do. The people that I know and trust who have been trying to bring you the truth for a long time. And I want to give you an example. You know, as you listen to this stuff, you can take it on as information, or you can say, I need to do something about this. I had somebody in my office the other day, not even there to see me, they heard me talking to somebody else, and they said, look, we got a situation. Mom and dad are both in assisted living. Mom's failing. Dad's failing. Dad's mad at mom. Blah, 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 blah. We're running out of money. We're spending $14,000. The family, because mom and dad don't have any money. The family is spending $14,000 a month on assisted living. No, I didn't make up that number. And that's about to go higher because one of them is going to go into a memory care unit. And one of them may be going to a nursing home. And the family is beside themselves because all the advice they're getting is that you can't do anything, can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do unless you want to pay me this and then maybe we can. It's obscene. The things that walk into my office every week, folks, if I could tape record them, you would not believe. Taking care of someone who's failing is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. It is the scariest thing you will ever do in your life. It is the most mind-bending thing you will ever do in your life. And if you want to continue to believe that it's not going... I had somebody in my office 2 weeks ago who sat there and I finally asked him to leave my office. He said, I don't know why we're here. My wife brought me here. I'm never going to get sick. And I will make all my own decisions until the day I die. And I said, well, what happens if you have a stroke? I'm not going to have a stroke. What do you mean you're not going to? I'm not going to have one. What about a heart attack? What about a fall and breaking a hip? That's not going to happen to me. And he was dead serious for 20 minutes until I said, I can't help you. If you're in that category, this show can't help you. If you think this is not going to happen to you or your mommy or your daddy or your grammy or grampy, if you're living in that fairy tale fog, then I can't help you. This is what people listen to. This is an article from Kaiser Health News. I don't even want to get started. This is from September 28th. I'm reading from the article. Most everyone agrees that it can be very difficult, next to impossible really, for Medi-Cal enrollees to snag a spot in a nursing home. Yeah, it's hard. It's not impossible. So that's a misleading statement to begin with. Especially if they're transferring from their homes or assisted living facilities rather than going straight from the hospital. You know why they can't go to the hospital? Because a lot of hospitals won't let you in. They won't let you in so that they can then give you the referral to the nursing home. A lot of hospitals have contracts with nursing homes. So if you do go to the hospital, you only get to go to the nursing home that they pick because they have money sliding back and forth each way. Not everyone agrees on the reasons, however. And I don't want to read the next part from who it is because I just don't. But let me tell you, folks, that there are a lot of nonprofits out there. These are people bemoaning the fact that they can't get any Medi-Cal beds in hospitals. There's a reason for that. There's an entire cottage industry out there that sues nursing homes on a daily basis. A lot of it over specious baloney. So nursing homes are very, very careful as to who they pick and who they let in. And, they'd like to not get sued. Well, Bob, terrible things happen in nursing homes. Yeah, sometimes. But remember, nursing homes are filled with very ill people. So when grandma rolls out of bed and falls on the floor, whose fault is that? You can't put up rails on beds because of all the lawsuits that there have been against nursing homes for people who got trapped in the rails. You got to understand, there's an entire industry from lawyers to nonprofits that are attorney referral services to unions to everybody that basically want one staff person for every resident in the nursing home. And as you all know, if we did that, nursing homes would cost $30,000 a month. Nursing homes, I'm not excusing the bad stuff, and sometimes it happens, not very often, not as often as you're led to believe. But there is an entire cottage industry that has made sure that nursing homes are expensive as they can be. because of lawsuits. I don't know how to say it another way. Are there some lawsuits that are justifiable? Probably. Are there a lot that are specious because they know there's an insurance company that's going to settle? Yes. Here's an organization that is upset about this article written in a hospital magazine that's upset because some nursing homes won't take people who are not on Medi-Cal and aren't going to pay up front. They may get on Medi-Cal someday. Now, understand it from a nursing home standpoint. What happens if the person never gets on Medi-Cal? The same organization will sue you. Will sue the nursing home because now the person that's not paying, they're trying to kick out. And they wonder why there's a shortage of nursing home beds. They wonder why you can't get somebody in who's Medi-Cal pending. They wonder why all of this is happening. If they can get more money with private pay or Medicare, they would rather accept one of them, the person says. Well, duh. Medicare pays $700 to $900 a day for rehab. Now, if you're a nursing home, would you rather have a government agency paying you $700 a day or $250 a day? No, I didn't say a week. I said a day. There's all kinds of things going here. When you read this article, if you know the people involved, this is all about torts. It's all about creating lawsuits. No one wants to look at the fact that we have a growing population that needs nursing homes. A growing population that is more frail. Why? Because we live longer. Lots of reasons. Projections are there that we'll be running out of nursing home beds by 2020. I don't doubt that statement. How many of you have been in a nursing home recently? You know, we've allowed ourselves to be skewed by the naysayers about what terrible places nursing homes are. Remember, half the people in nursing homes, maybe more 30 years ago, would not have been there. Why? Because they would have died first. Because we died younger. Remember, 65 was the age picked for Social Security because nobody made it to 65. So Social Security never expected to have to pay out any money. Life expectancy now is a lot more than that. If you're an 80-year-old woman, on average, you have another 10 years to live. You could live a lot of those in a nursing home. No, nursing homes aren't not the most fun place to be, but they're there because somebody can't take care of that person. If you think low income doesn't mean you, think again. I'm reading from the article. Many middle-class Californians need Medi-Cal to help pay for their long-term care because they run out of money paying the bills on their own. Wait a minute. Wait. Let's get this right. We don't have any money. We can't figure, but why? Because we spent it all on home care or assisted living. And then we wonder why the nursing home won't take mom because she doesn't have any money to pay. And Medi-Cal, in many cases, takes months and months and months to get if you're lucky. We're very lucky in Sacramento County because we have workers in Sacramento County that actually know what they're doing. We are very lucky in Sacramento County, folks. I can tell you there are a lot of other counties that the Medi-Cal workers do not know the program, do not know the rules, and regularly deny cases just to get them off their desk. Every day in Sacramento County, I am grateful for the workers that we have here who handle long-term care and their supervisors because they're smart and they care and they're patient and they understand. Despite the access challenges many Medi-Cal enrollees face, about two-thirds of California's nursing home residents rely on the program to cover all or part of their costs. The State Department of Healthcare Services, don't get me started on them, which oversees Medi-Cal, says that nearly 90% of California's 1,400 nursing homes accept its enrollees. The department is the only entity I interviewed that is not aware of Medi-Cal members who are having difficulty finding a nursing home that will accept them. They have, the question was asked incorrectly. There's a difference between someone already on Medi-Cal going to a nursing home and what's called Medi-Cal pending. Most nursing homes will not take someone just because someone promised that they were going to get them on Medi-Cal. Because most people who try to get on Medi-Cal are unsuccessful, either because they don't understand the rules, the person doing it is not experienced, does not know how to follow through, forms are filled out incorrectly, not a good worker in some counties, whatever it is. This is an attempt, this article, to paint nursing homes as the problem of a systemic failure in our society and in our state to provide quality care overseen by a quality department. This is all about lawsuits. If you can't get somebody in a nursing home, sue. If somebody in a nursing home gets hurt, sue. If your mom falls in the nursing home because she slipped, because she's 90 years old, she would have fallen at home too, sue. I'm just so frustrated at the amount of stuff. People will read this article and they will believe most of or most everything that's in here. Finding a bed if you're not in the hospital, especially a bed in your community, might mean you'll have to pay out of your own pocket initially, or it might require some creative maneuvering. Creative maneuvering? What does that mean? That makes it sound like you're doing something surreptitious or kind of on the edge of legal or what? No! There are very specific Medi-Cal rules about assets and income and transfers and all that kind of stuff. Or it might require some creative maneuvering, like working with your doctor to get you admitted to a hospital. Creative maneuvering? If your doctor, if Mildred needs to be in the nursing home, the doctor should just write a letter that says Mildred needs 24-hour day care and needs to be in a nursing home. Why is that creative maneuvering? Why is going to your doctor and finding out what your mom needs creative maneuvering? God, it just, even then, a hope and a prayer might be necessary, said the executive director of the California Association of Area Agencies on Aging. More than 90% of nursing home admissions last year came directly from hospitals, according to data from the Office of Statewide Health Planning. That's right, most people go to hospitals first. They're yelling and screaming here about the 10% of people who didn't go to a hospital first. If you or a loved one is in the hospital and may not be able to return home afterwards, start working with the hospital discharge planner immediately and ask for a list of nearby nursing homes. That list is available on the state website. You can call me. I can give it to you. This is not rocket science, folks. It's harder. Because you have to actually take some responsibility for yourself. You may also want to visit the facility first before committing your loved one to it. Well, gee, there's a good idea. I tell people who have somebody in assisted living, you should be visiting nursing homes now. Why should we be visiting them now, Bob? So you'll know what you like and what you don't like, and you'll have contacts there when the day comes that your mom needs a nursing home. Well, my mom's just still at home right now. She doesn't really need a nursing home yet. Is she going to need it someday? Yeah, probably. Maybe you ought to start visiting nursing homes now and find out who you like and who you don't like. The traditional form of Medicare will pay 100% for the first 20 days. That's not true. They will now, because of something called the JIMO settlement, will pay for up to 100 days along with your Medicare supplement policy. And no, you do not need to be improving, as most nursing homes and most advocates will tell you. The JIMO settlement ended that. So how Medicare pays for nursing homes now has all changed. But you can only qualify for this coverage if you enter a Medicare-approved nursing facility within 30 days of an inpatient hospital stay that lasted at least 3 days. Beware, observation care in the hospital won't count as an inpatient stay. That's correct. And that's being, there's some work right now to have that rule changed. You should be supporting that rule change. They can't just discharge somebody from a nursing home because they're going on Medi-Cal. That's a true statement. But they can not let you in. And that is also a true statement. If the nursing home balks and says it can't keep you after you've switched to Medi-Cal, you can call this organization and they'll sue for you. They make a lot of money on lawsuits. But that's not in the article anywhere, folks. And I can go on and 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 on. Instead of getting rid of all your money ahead of time to become eligible for Medi-Cal long-term care coverage, so-and-so suggests keeping some in reserve so you can gain entry as a cash customer. Then once you're a resident and run out of money, they're not allowed to kick you out. I'm not going to tell you. Never mind. I wish there were more support for individuals and families struggling through this. There is support. Placement services don't know a thing about Medi-Cal. Most hospital discharge planners don't know a thing about Medi-Cal or how it works. The point is, there's so much misinformation floating around out there. This one from a hospital newsletter. There's so much misunderstanding about how this system really works and how to navigate it that people are discouraged. They believe there's nothing they can do. They believe that there's no place to go. They believe all of this stuff. And the reality is there's lots of places to go. There's lots to do. There's lots of help available. But you have to decide today. One, is it a possibility in your life or the life of somebody you love that they may need long-term care? And two, when are you going to begin to pay attention to it and take care of it? Are you going to read articles like this and be misled into believing, oh, there's nothing I can do, it's all hopeless? Or do you get off your you-know-what and go make sure today that when that day comes, you're ready? It's all in order. It's all lined up. It's all set up. You know the nursing home you're going to go to. You know the director there. You know that that's where you want your mom to be. Or maybe it's assisted living. You know about VA benefits. You know what's going to help. How many of you are vets and know what benefits you're really entitled to help pay for home care or assisted living? How many of you really know? Yeah, you've been to seminars and you've heard all kinds of stuff. You heard you got to buy all kinds of stuff and you got to do all kinds of stuff. What's it worth to you as an individual listening to this show to know for a certainty that you could get the benefits to which that will help you, government benefits, that you don't have to spend everything down, that you don't have to wait 5 years, that you don't have to wait 3 years, that you can know for a certainty that there will be no estate recovery, that you will not lose your home, you will not lose everything you've worked a lifetime for, that you can find a bed, that you can do all those things? What's it worth to you to know how to do that and how to navigate a system that I just read you most of a newsletter that says it's all hopeless? 800-999-8007. Get on the phone, call me, and get your you-know-what into my office with your family and sit down and start the process now to make sure that when this nightmare happens to you, you're prepared. You're not reading some article that says it's all hopeless. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. you can know for a certainty that what you've worked a lifetime for is going to go to the people you love. You can know for a certainty that what you worked a lifetime for will not go to the state of California, will not be flushed down the toilet, will not be spent unwisely. You can know that for a certain. What's it worth to you? Is it worth a phone call? Is it worth an appointment? Is it worth figuring all this out to know for a certainty that you can keep what you have and pass it on to the people that you love after you're gone? That is not only possible, it's done every day. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Stick around, because I'm going to talk about conservatorships next, and you're not going to believe some of the stuff I'm going to read to you. We'll be back here in just a few seconds on Assets and Aging Affording the Future. Give me a call during the break. We'll see you back here in just a second. Welcome back to Assets and Aging Affording the Future. I have another subject for you today, trying to keep you informed. You're going to want pencil and paper for this one, because I'm going to give you two links. I can't give you links on the radio. You got to write them down. And I'm going to tell you right now, you want to go read these articles, and then you want to give them to somebody to read. You want to share them with your family. You want to do all that stuff. And then when you're done doing that, you're going to want to call me. I found these by accident this week. They're brand new articles. I've shared them with a bunch of elder law attorney friends that I know. I wish I could tell you what they all said, but I can't use their names on the air. Welcome to Assets and Aging. You know, a lot of people accuse me of being blunt, and Bob, you only talk, you bring us bad. No, I'm not bringing you bad news. I'm bringing you good news. I'm letting you know what's going on out there, and I'm letting you know that there's a defense against it. You can sit there and do nothing and go, oh, it's all doom and gloom. There's nothing I can do. Or you can actually change your life. You can change your mom's life. You can change your dad's life. You can be the guy that comes into my office and says, oh, no, I'll decide what happens to me. If you're that naive and that stupid, then I guess I don't have much hope. Neither do you, by the way, and neither does your family. But if you're willing to say, yeah, bad things happen to good people, and I know lots of people that bad things have happened to, and I want to be prepared. I don't want my money all going to the state of California. I don't want my money all going to the corporate owners of a nursing home or assisted living. I want my money as much as possible to go to the people that I love if something bad happens to me. So get out a pencil and paper, and then I want you to listen. And there is no way I can read all of this. The first article alone is very detailed, very long, and very involved. I am going to read you some things. I've had attorneys on this show before talking about conservatorships and guardianships, and they will tell you that on a scale of 1 to 10, every single one of them, elder law attorneys that I know of, and I know some really, really good ones, and they will tell you that, people tell you, we'll go get Gramps conserve, we'll get Dad conserve, we'll do a conservatorship for Mom, we'll do whatever. And on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a conservatorship is a great thing, and 10 being a conservatorship is a bad thing, every elder law attorney I know will tell you that in most cases a conservatorship is a 15 bad. Everybody thinks it's simple. Everybody thinks it's going to work the way it's supposed to. I want to read you parts of two articles. And you're going to have to just follow along and then write these down. And I'm telling you, go get them off your computer and read them. If you don't have a computer, you get your son or your daughter or your grandson or somebody to print them out for you and give them to you. But you get them. In my next newsletter, I may put up the links, but these are so important, I didn't want to wait for that. So let me give you the first one. It's from the New Yorker magazine. The New Yorker. You can Google New Yorker magazine. It's written by a lady named Rachel Aviv. A-V-I-V. And this was just in, I read this like 2 or 3 days ago. So it's fresh, and it's in the New Yorker magazine. You can probably go to the newyorker.com or something like that, and you can read it, okay? And when you do that, just search in the New Yorker, because I don't think let me see if I have the actual link here. I do not have the actual link, okay? But you can go to the New Yorker, and then just search in the New Yorker for the word guardian. Just guardians. Now, this article is based on another article that I want you to read. I want you to read it because it's unbelievably important. From the Clark County, from the Las Vegas Review Journal. This was from earlier in the year, like March. But the title of the article is Clark County's Private Guardians May Protect or Just Steal and Abuse. And I want you to read them both. Again, the first article was written in the Las Vegas Review Journal earlier in the year, probably March. The current article, which was based on the first article, was written in the New Yorker. And just go to the New Yorker and read this article. I'm telling you, folks, read it, then print it out and give it to somebody, and then make them give it to somebody. And then this is... I don't know the right word. If this doesn't, and I don't like using this word, but if this doesn't jog you or shake you into being prepared and having documents in place and having a plan, then nothing ever will. Nothing ever will. Again, the New Yorker from a couple days ago, and then the Las Vegas Review Journal from probably, let's see if there's actually a date on this article. It's probably back from March or April, because I printed it out too. And you need to read them both. Pardon me. It doesn't have the date. But it would have been from earlier in the year. Okay, I'm going to read you some stuff, and I just want you to listen. I don't like just reading all the time, but I want you to listen to this. And I'm going to shorten some of it, but I want you to listen to this. And if you think this doesn't happen, then you haven't been listening to this show, you haven't listened to the attorneys I've had on this show, you've never listened to people who do conservatorships and guardianships, you've never listened. Okay, I'm reading from the New Yorker. And again, the article is on guardians, and it's based on an article done in the Las Vegas Review Journal. Go find them. I'm reading from the article. For years, Rudy North woke up at 9 a.m. and read the Las Vegas Review Journal while eating a piece of toast. Then he read a novel. He liked James Patterson and Clive Cussler, or if he was feeling more ambitious, Freud. On scraps of paper and legal notepads, he jotted down thoughts sparked by his reading. Deep below the rational part of our brain is an underground ocean where strange things swim, he wrote on one notepad. On another, life, the longer it cooks, the better it tastes. Rennie, his wife of 57 years, was slower to rise. She was recovering from lymphoma, and suffered from neuropathy so severe that her legs felt like sausages. Again, I'm reading from an article in the New Yorker from a few days ago. I don't have the exact date, but probably the first part of October. first day or two of October. She always emerged wearing pale pink lipstick. Rudy, who was prone to grandiosity, liked to refer to her as mi amor, or for those of you in Spanish, mi amor. On the Friday before Labor Day 2013, the Norths had just finished their toast when a nurse, who visited five times a week to help Rennie bathe and dress, came to their house in Sun City, an active adult community in Las Vegas. They had moved there in 2005 when Rudy, a retired consultant for broadcasters, was 68 and Rennie was 66. I don't know if these names are real or not, folks. I believe them to be, but sometimes authors will just change them for privacy's sake. Was 68 and Rennie was 66. They took pride in their view of the golf course, though neither of them played golf. Rudy chatted with the nurse in the kitchen for 20 minutes, joking about marriage and laundry, until there was a knock at the door. A stocky woman with shiny black hair introduced herself as April Parks, the owner of the company, a private professional guardian. She was accompanied by three colleagues who didn't give their names. Parks told the Norths that she had an order from the Clark County Family Court to remove them from their home. I'm going to repeat that sentence. Parks told the Norths that she had an order from the Clark County Family Court to remove them from their home. She would be taking them to an assisted living facility. Go and gather your things. Rennie began crying. This is my home, she said. One of Parks' colleagues said that if the Norths didn't comply, he would call the police. Rudy remembers thinking, "You're going to put my wife and me in jail for this?" But he felt too confused to argue. Parks drove a Pontiac G6 convertible with a license plate that read Court Guardian. In the past 12 years, she had been a guardian for some 400 wards of the court. That means she had been authorized to forcibly remove them and put them where she wanted to put them for 12 years. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Read the article. And let me tell you, I've been doing this for 30 years. This is not the first time I've ever heard of this, nor will it be the last time. As their guardian, Parks... wait a minute. Let me back up. Owing to age or disability, they had been deemed incompetent, a legal term that describes those who are unable to make reasoned choices about their lives or their property. As their guardian, Parks had the authority to manage their assets and to choose where they lived, whom they associated with, and what medical treatment they received. They lost nearly all their civil rights. Without realizing it, the Norths had become temporary wards of the court. Parks had filed an emergency ex parte petition, which provides an exception to the rule that both parties must be notified of any argument before a judge. She had alleged that the Norths posed a substantial risk for mismanagement of medications, financial loss, and physical harm. She submitted a brief letter from a physician's assistant whom Rennie had seen once, stating that the patient's husband can no longer effectively take care of the patient at home as his dementia is progressing. I'm still reading from the article. She also submitted a letter from one of Rudy's doctors who described him as confused and agitated. How did she get the letters from the PA and the doctor, folks? I thought your medical records were confidential. Rudy and Rennie, that's my own statement, not in the article. Rudy and Rennie had not undergone any cognitive assessments. They had never received a diagnosis of dementia. In addition to Freud, Rudy was working his way through Nietzsche and Plato. Rennie read romance novels. Parks told the Norths that if they didn't come willingly, an ambulance would take them to the facility, a place she described as a respite. Still crying, Rennie put cosmetics and some clothes into a suitcase. She packed so quickly that she forgot her cell phone and Rudy's hearing aid. After 35 minutes, Park's assistant led the Norths to her car, When a neighbor asked what was happening, Rudy told him, "We'll just be gone for a little bit." He was too proud to draw attention to their predicament. "Just think of it as a mini vacation," he told Rennie. After the Norris left, Parks, who's the guardian conservator, walked through the house with Cindy Breck, the owner of Caring Transitions, a company that relocates seniors and sells their belongings at estate sales. Never mind, folks. I'm going to say something I'll be sorry for. Breck and Parks had a routine. "We open drawers," Parks said in a deposition. "We look in closets. We pull out boxes, anything that would store, that would keep paperwork, would keep valuables." She took a pocket watch, birth certificates, insurance policies, and several collectible coins. The Norris daughter, Julie, came to visit later that afternoon. A 53-year-old mother, I hope you're listening to this, don't lose me on this. A 53-year-old mother of three sons, she and her husband run a small business designing and constructing pools. She lived 10 miles away and visited her parents nearly every day, often taking them to her youngest son's football games. She was her parents' only living child. Her brother and sister had died. She knocked on the front door several times and then tried to push the door open, but it was locked. She was surprised to see the kitchen window closed. Her parents always left it slightly open. She drove to the Sun City Clubhouse, where her parents sometimes drank coffee. When she couldn't find them there, she thought that perhaps they had gone on an errand together. The farthest they usually drove was to Costco, but when she returned to the house, it was still empty. That weekend, she called her parents several times. She also called two hospitals to see if they had been in an accident. She called their landlord, too, and he agreed to visit the house. He reported that there were no signs of them. "I think someone kidnapped my parents." On the Tuesday after Labor Day, she drove to the house again and found a note taped to the door. "In case of emergency, contact guardian April Parks." The daughter dialed the number. Parks, who had a brisk, girlish way of speaking, told her that her parents had been taken to Lakeview Terrace, an assisted living facility in Boulder City, 9 miles from the Arizona border. She assured Belshi that the staff there would take care of all her needs. "You can't just walk into somebody's home and take them," Belshi said. Parks responded calmly, "It's legal, it's legal." Blah, 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 blah. I wanted to read something else. I didn't have all this highlighted because there was just too much. In the United States, 1.5 million adults are under the care of guardians, either family members or professionals, who control some $273 billion in assets, according to an auditor for the Guardianship Fraud Program in Palm Beach County. Little is known about the outcome of these arrangements because states do not keep complete figures on guardianship cases. Statutes vary widely, and in most jurisdictions, the court records are sealed. A government accountability report in 2010 said we could not locate a single website, federal agency, state or local entity, or any other organization that compiles comprehensive information on this issue. A study published this year by the American Bar Association found that an unknown number of adults languish under guardianship when they no longer need it or never did. The authors wrote that guardianship is generally permanent, leaving no way out until death do us part. When the Norris were removed from their home, they joined nearly 9,000 adult wards in the Las Vegas Valley. In the past 20 years, the city has promoted itself as a retirement paradise. Blah, 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 blah. Roughly 30% of the people who moved to Las Vegas are senior citizens, and the number of Nevadans older than 85 has risen by nearly 80% in the last decade. I don't want to go on anymore because I will lose it. I've only read parts of the first two pages. This article is probably 12, 15 pages long. Again, the article I'm reading is from the New Yorker from a few days ago. I do not have the actual link, but you can go to the New Yorker magazine and type in, search for guardians, and you will find it. Or you could do it by the author. Let me get you the author's name one more time. This is a brilliant article. Rachel Aviv, A-V-I-V, who's a New Yorker staff writer. that is linked to another newspaper article, the original one from the Las Vegas Review Journal from early in 2015. But if you go to the Las Vegas Review Journal and you go to their archive section, you can find this article. Okay, and it's called Clark County's Private Guardians May Protect or Just Steal and Abuse. And this article was written by, do I have a name on this? I do not have a name. Colton Lockhead. Colton Lockhead, L-O-C-H-H-E-A-D. Now, some of you are sitting there going, could that happen in California? Not in exactly the same way. Not in exactly the same way. It's harder for that to happen in California. And my point in reading it is simple. I once was taking care of somebody, and I walked in one day because I was taking care of them. They were older adults, and Adult Protective Services was there. And it was unannounced. They knew the people tried to tell this person that I was taking care of them. They didn't call me. I happened to walk in by accident. And the Adult Protective Service person sat there and said, well, we think these people are in danger. Now, they were living in a very nice independent living facility. They were paying the bills. And they also had a round-the-clock caregiver for one of them because one of them needed a lot of help. And the Adult Protective Services person said someone complained and said there was financial abuse going on. I said, there's no financial abuse going on. I know about... Well, I said, who was it? I said, and they wouldn't say it. I said, well, I know it's the bank. Somebody at the bank thinks that there's too much money. He said, well, now listen to this. He said, well, there's all kinds of money missing. And I said, well, you know, they live in a building. Now listen to these numbers, folks. They live in an apartment that could cost them $4,000 a month. 4 times 12 is how much? 50, basically. And they have round-the-clock care inside the building because that's what they want. That's what they want. They have the money to pay for it. So inside of the assisted living building, one of them needed help, was in a wheelchair and needed help with bathing and all that. They had round-the-clock care that cost $80,000 a year. Now, if you add those two numbers together, how much were they paying for care? And I said to the person from Adult Protective Services, that's about $130,000 a year. He said, that's impossible. I said, what do you mean? He said, nobody could pay that much for care. And I looked at him and I said, what planet do you live on? And then I said something interesting. Because he gave me his card, and I said, the next time you come, would you please call me first, because I would like their attorney to be here. And he said to me, and I quote, I don't ever have to call you. I'll come whenever I want, and their attorney has no right to be here. Now, let that sink in for a minute. Because I'm not telling you a story from somewhere else. I'm telling you a story that I actually experienced. And I have heard over the years from other people that have experienced that. So based on an anonymous phone call, these two old people were harassed, threatened with being taken out of their apartment because somebody didn't understand that you could pay over $100,000 a year for round-the-clock care. My point is this. If you have not taken care of your life, if you have not done what you need to do to make sure family members know what's going on, family members are in charge, then you run the risk of becoming a victim. And you don't need to become a victim. you can know with certainty that you or your family can be in charge of your affairs. You can know that for a certainty. You have to decide. You have to decide whether you want to be in charge of your life. You have to decide what it's worth to be in charge of your life, to make sure those that you love can be in charge of your life if you can't be, to make sure that your family gets to select your level of care, not a third party. You have the power to do that. You have the power in your hands to do that. You have the ability to do that. You have to decide if it's important enough for you to do. Take the time to take a minute and call me, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Bring the family. Get in and together make sure that you know how, I'm tapping the table right now, that you know how to take care of yourself, you know how you want to be taken care of, you know who can protect you and your money, you know that your or your family members are in charge. What's it worth to you to have that kind of peace of mind? Or you can just hope it's all going to work out okay, just like the Norths did in Las Vegas. Read the articles, decide whether to make a difference in your life, and call me today. Quit waiting. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. We'll set up a time. The consultation is free. Bring the family. Bring everything. We'll figure out together how you can make sure that at the end of your life, you control everything or the people you love. Thanks for taking the time to listen. Give me a call, 800-999-8007. I'd love to see you. See you at an upcoming workshop. And as always, thank you for listening to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, right here every week, same time, same place. Have a wonderful day. Look forward to hearing from you. Bye-bye.